Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to the Jake Brown Show, CBS Radio's Radio.com Podcast Network, iTunes, and Spotify. You can follow me at Jake Brown Radio. Follow the show at Jake Brown Show. Hit us on Facebook. We're on Facebook Live right now with comedian, podcast host. You remember him from Opie and Anthony days. He's on Sirius XM, Jim Norton and Sam Roberts Show. Jim Norton is in the building. What's
Hi,
up,
Jake.
Man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. And you can catch him Saturday, and I will likely be there at the Town Hall, which is in Times Square.
Town Hall, yeah. I think it's 47th Street or 43rd Street. And I did
blocks,
it. I haven't done it since 2002. And yeah, it's kind of a legendary building, so they offered it to me. I was really happy to do it.
Yeah, and you'll also be at the Wellmont. If you're in a Jersey person, if you're not in New York, go to the Wellmont, I believe, on December 2nd. So yeah. catch him. And this is the Kneeling Room Only stand-up tour.
Yeah, I needed a good name for a tour. I just came up with something. It's a different hour than was on Netflix, so you're not seeing the same material.
And that is annoying when you do see the same material over and over again.
Yeah, sometimes. Who wants to see that? But bands get lucky because they, you know, stupid Axl could do Guns and Welcome to the Jungle for the rest of his life. And meanwhile, if I repeat a joke from 2014, they're like, "You hack, write more hack." So,
do you write it all, or is it just like come on your head?
I don't actually physically put it on paper usually because I'm on stage every night, so I'll go on stage and just work it out. Like, but you know, like the whole Weinstein thing or the whole Kevin Spacey thing, you just go on and start talking about it and. You kind of see where you can go with it, and you know, then you eventually have it worked out and take it on the road.
How often do you do new jokes? Is it like a once a year thing? Or
oh no, all the time. Mm-hmm. I get bored very fast. So as soon as Mouthful of Shame was shot, I dropped the entire act and just went back into the comedy cellar and started working. Worked for a few months, then came back out on the road.
Tell us about this tour. What should people expect to see? Is it the usual hilarity of Jim Norton and sex and dating life and
yeah,
everything?
I'm always honest about where I'm at in my personal life. People ask me, like, what are you talking about? And it's the same thing I talked about last year, but my life is a little different. Mm-hmm. So it's the dating situation. Of course, I'm talking a little bit about Trump. Of course, I'm talking about Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, just everything that's kind of been happening. Some childhood memories. You know, talking about creeping women out a lot, because this whole thing about Me Too, and it's like, it makes you think as a man, like, how many times have I creeped a woman out? And I know I have, but most guys don't understand that you've all creeped women out. So it's fun to talk to women in the audience and ask them, like, when have guys been creepy? And every woman has a story.
Oh, yeah, and I think we're all guilty of it, especially around dating apps. Just, these girls get thousands and thousands of messages that you really have to stand out, to make an impression.
Yeah, the only reason I've ever gotten anybody is because I'm a comedian. So if they recognize me, I have a shot. If they don't recognize me, I'm finished. And then people are like, how do you know she's not using you? I'm like, I'm praying she's using me. That's the only shot I have, is that she might be using me for either, you know, money or because she likes my act or whatever it is.
Well, do you have to play that card a lot? You'd be like, hey, I'm comedian Jim Norton.
No, I would never say that, because if you have to say it, they're not going to care. If they don't know what you do, it doesn't matter.
But when do you get to that point? When are you like, hey, like, is it when, hey, what do you do? I'm a comedian. Oh.
Sure, I'll always be honest. Or they'll say, I recognize you. Or if I have to go to work, a lot of times I'll be like, I'm leaving, I have to work tomorrow, or I'm getting up, or, well, what do you do? And then I'll tell them. But I don't ever hint around at it or go, hey, you know, oh boy, I like to laugh, huh? I'm going to pause. You know, it's just kind of cheesy. And I can't say, hi, I'm a comedian. If they don't know that, then again, it's not going to mean anything to them anyway.
And your comedy show, your special's on Netflix. You guys can catch it now, available. I watch it Sunday night. Very good. And
thank you.
One of the jokes I talked about was when a girl looked you up and then she saw, I guess, your videos and what
true
you talked
story.
About. And the joke was that it didn't work out, that you responded with a word that my parents would, I mean, you say the C word.
Yes,
we'll say.
I do.
We can curse in here, but the C word is an aggressive choice. But you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us the actual story of what went down on that?
The actual story was, the whole thing is true except for the C word response. She's like, I Googled you. And I forget what word she used. Whatever I said in the story about I Googled you is true. And we never wound up hooking up. But in the special, I close with a joke where I drop a C-bomb on her and it gets a big laugh. And then she saw the special and she sent me an email. And she goes, hey, that was really funny. Because she knew in real life I didn't actually call her that. Mm-hmm. So I think I wrote something nice to her after. I'm like, hey, man, I'm different than that. I'm not going to be creepy to you on a date. But she just never responded. So then she sees my special. She realizes I'm talking about her. And she goes, hey, remember me? I Googled you. And then we started talking. I'm like, yeah, we never went out. And she goes, well, let's go out. Or I asked her, whatever. So we went out for dinner a couple of times. And we didn't wind up hooking up. We just hung out. But she was really sweet. And I'm glad I met her. It was fun to actually meet her and like, yeah, she was a real person.
And I think people don't understand. You think you have to go on dates and there always to be something romantic about it. I've made friends off of dating apps or connects. Like I've met like publicists off dating apps who've helped get guests on my show.
Yeah.
So it ends up you never know who you're going to meet on there. And I think people are always like, oh, I have to find a boyfriend. I have to find a girlfriend off of this. But really, it's just connections, life connections.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Most of the dates I've gone on are not... A lot of times they don't wind up being romantic. Sometimes they do. Sometimes you kiss, or very rarely do you have sex, you know.
On the first date.
Yeah, you just don't. And I'm 49 years old. I'm not above having sex. I mean, I like it, but I'm at a point now where I've done so many things in that area that I've kind of mellowed a little as time goes on. And like, I like going out. Like I hang out with my opener, Kelsey. She has a boyfriend. He's a comedian. She and I have zero romantic involvement. But like I'll go to events with her and like she's just a good friend. You start to develop better friendships with women when you get older, and it's not a friend zone thing. It's like we're friends and we work together, and that's great. And when you have that, it's kind of, I think it would make me a better boyfriend when I find somebody, because I'm dating someone now. I don't know if I'll actually be a long-term thing or not. But the more involvement you have with women as friends, the better boyfriend you are when you meet someone.
And you also never know who's friends with these girls that you meet. They could have hot friends. There's times you meet girls and many times where you've liked the friends more than you like the actual girl.
Well, Kelsey tried, she tries to set me up with her friends once in a while. Because we're on the road, she has to just hear me bitch. And so she hooked me up with one of her friends. We talked a little bit and the girl lost interest immediately.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was probably the first time I wrote, I only have one photo in spandex. It's quite revealing, LOL. And she was like, all right. I'm going to talk to this creep.
What apps? So I know you've used Tinder. What else do you use?
I've done Tinder.
Okay, Cupid?
No, I think I looked at that online. I didn't do the app. There was one that wanted only a 15-year. Oh, Plenty of Fish sucked because they wanted a 15-year age differential. And I'm 49, and I'm like, I don't like them. He's like, don't tell me I have to date somebody who's 34
years.
You
might want a 25-year-old. Who knows?
Yeah, or I'm immature. I'm 49, but it's like I've dated women in their early 20s.
Yeah.
And people are like, that's creepy. Shut up. It's not. I mean, how many times? I've dated women in their 30s. They want a baby right away. They want to know where the relationship's going right away. You know what? I'm going to waste your time. Mm-hmm. If you're 35 and you want to know where it's going, I'm going to waste your time.
Yeah.
Because I probably don't want kids. Mm-hmm. And if you're in your 40s, look, I'm sorry. I don't want to feel like I'm 49. My friend is coming over this week to help me figure out where to hang my 3 Shepherd Fairey Black Sabbath posters. I don't want to date a mature woman. So I date.
Yeah, I think age is overrated. In dating life, I don't know. I don't understand why it's a big issue. I mean, look at like Hugh Hefner.
Exactly.
Look at these people,
80-year-olds
dating 30-year-olds.
Howard Hughes. Other crazy people.
Rest in peace, Hugh Hefner.
Rest in peace. I've done Tinder, I've done Happn, I've done Bumble, I did TS Dating, I did that, I did Raya, R-A-Y-A, which is people in the industry, quote unquote, they're all the same, honestly all the
Plenty
same.
Plenty of Fish is very ratchet.
So
if you want to meet catfish and ratchets and people are trying to direct you like they're sex sites, that's where you go, Plenty of Fish.
That's why, I didn't. Some of them I don't like for that reason, because I was in that sex world for a while, a long time, and I just don't want to do that anymore. Like, I'm literally, and it's not for any reasons, it's like, I've heard too many bad things about it, and the situations girls are in, I'm like, I just can't do it, and I just want a relationship now, and normal. My co-host Sam, he laughs at my, he goes, your midlife crisis is just the opposite of everybody else. Because guys hit 50 and they want to buy a race car and they want to just go out and parachute. And I'm like, no, I just want a nice girl to be faithful to and go to a movie. Like, I want a normal situation now because I've been such a creep for so long. I'm like, I just want something normal.
So are you looking at like get married if you find the right person?
I would, if I found the right person at this point. I don't feel compelled to do it and I don't feel obligated to do it, but I would do it. It's one of those things where, people, I'm 50 and I'm not married, and people are like, oh, you're going to die alone. But how many of you are in miserable relationships? Mm-hmm. I love these guys that criticize dating younger women. It's like, what is your divorce rate? How many guys do I talk to and you're only staying with the person because you got kids together? You can't stand them. She doesn't blow you anymore. You're not happy anymore. You're not having the kind of say, hey, the old lady won't give it to me. Like, I'm sorry, but that's never been my life. So, I've traded off certain things, but so have you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I'm cherishing the single life. I'm 26, so I'm cherishing at least probably 5 more years. You got to wait till you're stable and in position to even be in a relationship. And you see so many people. I see friends younger than me get married already. I'm like, what are you doing with your life? There's so much time left out there for you to live. And you're in New York. Like, there's just a woman at your fingertips at every corner. While some girls here are different, and it's a little more difficult at times because you got your stuck-up girls, you got your Long Island girls, and you got your Jersey girls, and it's not as easy as, hey, you start swiping on Tinder when you're in the Midwest, and you'll end up with whatever you want, basically.
Well, you know, it depends on where you are. I mean, how many people are on it? I mean, there's always so many people, but I haven't been on the sites in a while, so I just kind of gave up on it. And
but
I was
does
okay
part of you like a lot of some of your jokes are from these dates and stuff? And if you change and become a married man, or you have a faithful, you have a girlfriend, does that change your entire act?
No, but and my audience, most of my audience is married. A lot of them are married, mm-hmm. So a lot of them don't relate to my lifestyle anyway. So no, but I never care about that. I never care if I'm going to lose an audience doing that. Like,
it builds for good content. It makes good content.
Yeah, I just talk about whatever's happening. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? If I'm in a relationship, I talk about it. If I'm single, I talk about it. If I can't get an erection, I talk about it. You know, like, when I can't get an erection, I talk about it. You know, whatever is in my life, I discuss. And whatever is in the news that interests me, I discuss. So, you know, if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't.
What are there times, I'm sure it's happened, obviously, where people have emailed you or come to you after shows and said that they were really offended by a joke?
Once in a while, not very often. You know, people will send me hate on Twitter or hateful emails, but I don't care about that. I don't care about threats. You know,
do threats happen that often?
Oh God, yeah. Really? Not all the time, but they do happen. You're a pussy. You should be killed yourself. Kill yourself. I'll kill you. Oh, shut up. Shut up.
Do people like? Have you had girls like get pissed at you for joking about them? They're like, they know it's clearly it was about them when you told a joke.
I wouldn't say they really get pissed because I'm pretty careful to separate them from the joke in any real way. Mm-hmm. So no, because they know they can't be connected to it publicly.
Jim Noren on the Jake Brown Show. You catch him at Town Hall this weekend, Saturday. You also catch him on the Unfiltered podcast with Jim Noren and Matt Serra.
UFC Unfiltered, yes.
And Michael Bisping went down over the weekend.
It's one of the most shocking things I've ever seen in sports was that Yoani and JJ getting knocked out by Rose Namajunas. And I was happy for Rose in the first round. Nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw TJ Dillashaw. I mean, you know what? That was the least surprising of the three, even though Cody Garbrandt was undefeated. To see TJ win that fight was, I mean, I like Cody, so I kind of wanted to see Cody. But, you know, TJ, it was not that shocking to watch him. I think it was shocking to see Cody go down in the second. But when you looked at Bisping getting choked out by GSP, that was shocking. Because Bisping hasn't fought, GSP hasn't fought in 4 years. He went up 15 pounds in weight. He's fighting a guy that's impossible to keep down, and he fights on the ground. It was such an amazing, and Bisping is such a savage that he just wouldn't tap. You know, he's looking for the hands, and then his arms drop, and he's choked. The whole card was tremendous. The whole card was absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, and Bisping has been on my show before. And
he's great, right?
He talked about it. He said he's a better trash talker than Conor McGregor, was his statement.
You know, it's hard to say. They're both really good. Conor has a way of doing it in the mainstream that Bisping doesn't. It's not a knock on Bisping. It's just that Conor, for
Conor
some reason,
is
gets
so
more,
mainstream. Yeah.
He gets more eyes on him because he's Conor, and he's this young, brash Irish guy, and he's representing a country that hasn't had a champion, I guess. But Bisping's a great trash talker. Chael Sonnen was a great trash talker. And Conor is certainly amazing at it. But Floyd was always decent, but against Conor, he was not good at all.
Where do you see McGregor going from here? I mean, he surprised us all with how competitive he was versus Mayweather. Can he enter that space? Can he leave UFC?
No, I don't think so. Not full-time. I mean, Triple G. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? You going to fight him? I mean, stay in UFC. I think that he'll. Dana knows what a big star he is. Conor wants to co-promote, and that was what kept Fedor out of the UFC. Was that these Russian guys always wanted to co-promote with UFC, and they said no, we don't co-promote with Conor. I am wondering if they would, or just give him a piece of something. Conor is going to. You know, Conor said, "I want my piece of the pie," and he may get it because he is that big a star. And you know what? He has proven his worth. I think he's a bigger draw in Europe than Floyd Mayweather, so he may get what he wants.
Now, you're only a UFC guy. You're not baseball, basketball, football.
Not anymore, no. I used to watch all of it, and then I just stopped. The more athletes I interviewed, the more some boxers I still like. But you look at Alvarez, Triple G, that disgusting decision. That woman should be fired and sued. What a nightmare. The score she gave was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. And I can't accuse her of corruption, but I can only say it makes it hard to disbelieve boxing corruption accusations. That's all I'll say. It's just, it was disgusting. It wasn't close. It was clearly a Triple G win. And for her to recognize undefeated record with that was just revolting.
What haven't you done in your career yet that you still want to do?
I would like to have my own TV show. I do something called the Chip Chipperson Podcast, which is a character I do. I would like to do something more with that. It's really fun. And believe me, fans don't care if Jim Norton is dead, but they would love Chip Chipperson to live on. So I'm really happy that Chip is doing quite well.
What is it about that? I don't know. Like your alter ego?
Yeah, he's a character, but he kind of embodies the awfulness in all of us. And I think Chip is our greatest fear, that we are him. Hmm. That we naked, we are this ass who everybody thinks is a fool, who just doesn't see that he's a fool. He's a total lack of self-awareness. And I think that's what people like about him. I think he's funny. I see he like he's a different character from me, but I don't really think that way.
Jim Norton in the building. We're gonna sign off on Facebook Live. You guys could subscribe to the show and catch the rest of it there.
Oh, you're gonna miss me.
iTunes and Spotify. Have you felt the change in comedy and how more sensitive people have become, especially obviously in this Trump era? Do you feel that, and do you feel like yourself having to change things up a little bit?
People, it's not about Trump. People were sensitive when Obama was president. Mm-hmm. It's all social media. So it's people just kind of weighing in because they want to be heard. And mm-hmm. So things that wouldn't have mattered a few years ago, excuse me, now things that you say on a comedy stage are all of a sudden people are taking it as seriously as they take politicians who make policy. It's just everybody's weighing in now. And there might have been a time where a comedian made a joke and people would be like, oh, that was kind of rude. But now they can just tell everyone that was rude. And oh my God, your feelings were hurt? Well, let's hear why. So it's just become this thing where everybody just wants to hear themselves talk.
Do you think you're serious about it too, the transgender jokes, do those offend people at all?
I've had a couple of people misinterpret them, mm-hmm. but I like trans women. I've said that for years. I mean, you know, anybody who's offended by that just isn't listening or isn't paying attention. I did some Caitlyn Jenner joke on Twitter, and it wasn't even a nasty joke because Caitlyn said she was going to run for mayor or something like that, or run for governor. She was going to run for governor, and I just did some joke, and they people thought that I was transphobic. I mean, transphobic? Like, is your Google broken? You out of your mind? Transphobic, which is just because she's trans doesn't mean that that being trans there's nothing you can joke about. Mm-hmm. So there was a storm of that, but I don't care about it. You can accuse me of being transphobic, you're just stupid.
Are you team all trans? Are you pre-op trans, post-op trans, all?
If I date, usually pre-op trans. I mean, I'm fine with all trans people. I mean, mm-hmm. Whatever makes you happy makes you happy. I think that, you know, like any other group, they get lumped in. Like, you know, I've had trans girls go, all trans women want the operation, and I'm like, no, they don't. I've talked to a lot of them that don't. They like having their penis. You know, it depends on the person, I guess. But I don't understand that world. I can't give you scientific answers. I don't know what the real answer is, what it really is. Nobody really knows. You know, someone from Johns Hopkins psychology will tell you something. Medical doctor will tell you something else. You know, I think that they're still trying to figure out what this is. And maybe it has always existed. Maybe now just with surgeries and hormones and things, now people look more like women. I don't know. I just don't know what the answer is. But it doesn't concern me. Whatever the final judgment is, I'm fine with either way. You like who you like.
Has that been your whole adulthood that you've been in trans? Was it a new thing?
Before adulthood, mm-hmm. when I was a teenager. I discovered it. You know, I mean, I had sex with boys and girls growing up, but I never knew what it meant. And then when I saw trans girls, I was like, oh, wow, I like a trans porn star named Sulca from the 70s, if you remember Sulca. And then, then all of a sudden, as I got older, I wasn't really actively seeking it out in my early 20s. Like, I kind of got freaked out when I realized that some of the girls had fake breasts. I was like, whoa, what? Like, I didn't like it at that point. I mean, I would like it in pornography, but not really necessarily on purpose in real life. And then as mm-hmm. I got older, I just started, I'm attracted to trans women. And I want to have interactions with them, and I did.
Seth, do you know Sulca?
I don't know Sulca. I'll look her up though.
From the 70s. Make sure the safe search is off on these CBS computers.
Oh, of course. She's a delight. She's dead now, I think.
Jim Norton in the building again at Town Hall Saturday. Get your tickets now. Doing these comedy specials for you, are there more to come?
I hope so. I don't know, man. I always feel irrelevant. I feel like I literally feel like I've made zero. And I'm not saying this for people to feel sorry for me. I'm just my perception is that like I've said nothing that anybody has heard in 25 years. So, like, I got to do another one. Like, I want to do another one, but I don't see anybody offering me one. So if they want to offer me one, I would love to do it. I mean, it's not ready yet, but I would love to shoot another one within a year, sure.
Doing a show in Sirius, one of the great interviews that I think it went viral that I saw was Nancy Grace walking out on you guys. Can you take us through that? Because you guys were making her cry, and it was amazing.
Well, she sucks. I had bashed her for years on Twitter. She blocked me. She's the only celebrity to ever block me. I thought she was
Anita Baker blocked me. That's the only
one.
Why? We had an interview where a former player, Rashawn McCloud, told us that Jordan used to sing Anita Baker to Jerry Stackhouse while he was crossing him over. And Anita Baker, I said, thanks, you're welcome for the album sales increases or something. And she just blocked us. It was very odd, but continue.
What a douche.
Yeah.
So
she blocked
Nancy Grace, and she had blocked me. Mm-hmm. She's promoting a show. A
before the interview, she blocked it.
Oh, a while before. Okay. I didn't care. I bashed her. I deserved to be blocked. Mm-hmm. I didn't cry about it. And she came in for the interview to promote a book. And we're talking. And I said to her, I could tell she knew who I was, and she didn't like that I had bad-mouthed her. But I said, I got to be straight. You know, I have not liked a lot of the things you've done. And she got a little snotty fast. I had to be honest, though, because I wasn't going to attack her in person. I was going to confront her. But I felt like I'm a pussy if I only do it on social media, and then when the woman's right here, I don't do it.
And she's expecting, like, oh, they're going to plug my book, or it's going to be a nice combo.
She might have known. She might have wanted to come in and give it to me. Mm-hmm. So she got mad at me, and she got mad at Sam, and she walked out. She's such a douche. Like, you're the one who's given these quote-unquote tough interviews on people, and you can't handle it when a couple of people don't like you. She sucked, because I thought that she capitalized on dead kids with things like Tot Mom. She cartooned the idea of it with a hashtag, and that was self-serving, and she's never going to admit that. And I know she's a crime victim herself. I certainly feel bad that that happened to her. I don't think that she's lying about having empathy, but I think that she is lying about saying that she is not capitalizing on it or using it to her advantage to get more viewers and to hashtag it and to get herself involved.
Has that been like the craziest interview that has happened on the show or any of your shows?
Me and Jesse Ventura had a big argument. He walked off the Opie and Anthony show many years ago, and we had an argument that got very nasty. I had an argument with Chris Jericho that got very uncomfortable, even though Chris is a really good friend of mine today. That was one. I've had arguments with Opie on the air that got really uncomfortable. So, you know, I've had a lot of crazy things happen on the radio show.
Do you watch other comedians?
No.
None.
No, I don't want to.
Because Did you used to?
Nah, when you first start. But after a while, it's like, no, I'm more interested in what I want to say. And like, I don't need to see them doing something that A, sucks, or B, is way better than what I'm going to do.
Do you follow, though, what's going on? Like Louis C.K. or Chris Rock or Seinfeld or any of these big guys?
Really. I know Chris is getting a little bit of crap for something, joke he just did. And Louis just invited me to his premiere on Thursday. There's a premiere for this film. So, like, yeah, I mean, that I do. And I keep in touch with him as a friend. But I don't follow. I didn't know he did a movie until I heard about it a week ago. You know what I mean? Like, I don't follow what my friends are doing.
Are you friends with a lot of these guys in the industry?
Oh, yeah, Louis I've been friends with for 20 years. I mean, he's one of the first guys in New York to be really sweet to me. Colin Quinn is one of my closest friends. Bobby Kelly, Rich Voss. You know, all these comics I'm very close with.
Do comedians, you guys ever cross over? I mean, romantically?
Oh, yeah. You can occasionally.
Like, have you banged female comedians?
You know, I typically don't at all. I never slept with any of my openers. Typically, I use a woman as an opener because they're different than me. I've dated one comedian in my life. I don't date comedians. I think only one.
Famous?
Chelsea Peretti. Her husband is she's a genius comedically. We dated many years ago. Mm-hmm. And I actually never mentioned it publicly because I'm an embarrassment to women who have dated me. She mentioned it in an interview with Marc Maron. So, like, after we had broken up. But, you know, she was a really awesome person, and she's a brilliant comic. But a comedian, there's just too much of you're just too close, and I just never did it. I mean, before that or after it. I mean, we stopped dating in, like, 2006 or something, 2007.
Do you think it's, like, frowned upon?
No, no one cares. No. People could care less. I just don't do it. Because I also think that comedians know that so much of what I say is not a joke, and they're all embarrassed by it. Mm-hmm. Like, what women want to be associated with Jim Norton? Not many. I don't blame them. Not coming out. Why would they?
Do you feel that like have you had situations where you're dating a girl and they didn't realize some of your material, and then as you're dating they look into it and they become disinterested? Does that happen ever?
No, I wouldn't say with girlfriends. But maybe with Tinder girls like that one, yeah, one or you never know.
Like it's after you guys have been hanging out, and then they're like, "Let me look at more into this guy, Jim Norton."
Well, you never know because they're not going to tell you that. They're not going to say I've lost interest after Googling. They just fade away.
But they'll ghost you.
So I've had so many times. Oh yeah, I've had a bunch of women do that. I had one woman ghost me so bad. It was so bad. I was hoping she was dead. I'm like, that would have been easier to take. I'm like, I hope she got killed. She came to this premiere with me, and she was really cute. We kissed a little bit. Maybe I was too dirty or too sexually aggressive talking dirty. I just do that sometimes. And, you know, I thought she was into it. And maybe it turned her off and she just ghosted me. But mm-hmm. she could have told me. Like, I wouldn't have been, I would have apologized.
Girls
said,
need
oh,
to be
sorry.
Straight up because that happens a lot. Yeah. It's just like, well, just say, hey, I'm not interested, boom. It's like, we're all grown up.
Or just
like,
say, hey, this is a little too sexual, too fast. Give me a chance to apologize or be a jerk. And I would have apologized.
Yeah, and a lot of girls don't understand that because they think every guy's the same because of these apps, and they think everyone's all the same. And you just got to be real. I think more people need to be real. If you don't like me, if you don't like how you're coming on, just tell me.
She ghosted me badly. Oh, yeah. She was supposed to come see me on a Friday night, and then 3:00 in the afternoon we were talking, and I just never heard from her again. Never to this day have I heard from her. Really, it was really pretty putrid. The way she did it. She's really a shitty person. Not for not wanting to see me, but for literally saying, yeah, I'll be there, and then just never showing up. I've had that happen probably once every 10 years that happens to me.
Well, that's not a terrible ratio, once every 10 years. No. You could do worse.
Yeah.
I had a time a girl didn't show up, and it was outside a Mets game. And luckily, Mets tickets are pretty cheap, but I was outside the game, and she said she was there and like said what she was wearing and clearly wasn't. Didn't pick up her phone again.
Oh, I had that once too, but it was a catfish. Yes, I did.
I think it was a catfish, essentially, because she was not there and she was obviously lying and then never answered again. Luckily, I had friends at the game, so I sat with some friends, but still, that was a weird moment.
People are so crazy.
What's the worst date you've been on?
I haven't had that many bad ones. Honestly, I'm a pretty good date. I'm a pretty adaptable date. Like, I'm a good conversationalist at dinner. I ask about you. Like, I want to know about you, and I can talk about my job. Being a comic is interesting enough to hold most people's interest for one day. Like, you know what I mean? Like, for a one-dinner conversation, doing radio and stand-up and, oh, you worked with Louis and Amy Schumer. Like, there's enough things there where they can at least have a conversation carry through the dinner. Like, you know what I mean? So most of them have not been bad experiences, and I'm always interested in hearing about them anyway. So I'm always like, what do you do? Like, I almost will interview a girl because I'm so bored with talking about my own shitty life. Like, I honestly would much rather hear about what she took in school, or why'd you want to be a lawyer? I wanted to be a lawyer. What kind of law? Like, whatever. Like, I would rather hear that stuff than yap myself. So I think I'm a fairly good dinner date, and I haven't had that many disastrous stories, to be honest. I really just don't, because if I sense it's about to go south or weird, I just back off and don't see him again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm similar. It's easy to carry a conversation doing shows and everything we do that it's not too difficult. Jim Norton is in the building. Go catch him Saturday at Town Hall. Go watch his Netflix special. Go see him if you're in Jersey at December 2nd at the Wellmont. Kneeling room only. Chip Chipperson podcast. You're all over the place,
man. UFC Unfiltered, Jim and Sam show. I'm juggling a bunch of things because I'm terrified of the impending irrelevance.
Yeah, well, they're all checks, though. That's it. They're all checks. That's what matters. Appreciate you coming in, man.
Thanks for having me. This was fun, man.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.